Giant Conversations, episode 36. Today, we are blessed with the presence of Antonia and Xavier, who have just come back on a tour talking edge to cloud, traveling many different cities and giving their perspective on what they've been up to. Thank Gemini for that song and my 15 minutes of due diligence on asking for less saxophone. So, hi, Xavier. How are you today?
Hi, Tommy. I'm good. Thank you. Thank you for having us on the podcast.
Yeah, we appreciate you being here. Antonia, you?
Yeah, doing great.
Excellent. All right. Well, we're going to start off with a couple of questions, but I'm mostly interested at the very beginning here to understand kind of an introduction to Giant Swarm and edge computing, smart factories, distributed Kubernetes, you know, the whole nine. Lay it out.
Yeah, so we went to different cities to give talks around, you know, edge computing and smart factories, because that's what Giant Swarm has been doing in the last couple of years. We've seen more and more interest coming inside the around the area of smart factories and smart manufacturing, about making plants more efficient and using Kubernetes like frameworks to achieve that with like a distributed architecture. And this is what we wanted to talk about.
That's great. And so on your tour, you went to a lot of different cities. I remember when you went to Edinburgh, you went to Aarhus, that's up in Denmark, Berlin, Atlanta. Kind of my neck of the woods. Interested in what your favorite cities were and why.
So that was Hamburg, I think. Well, I actually haven't been to Berlin, although I wish we did. Yeah, I think my favorite city so far has been Edinburgh, because I just love that city. It's beautiful and very historic.
Mm-hmm. Antonia, what about you?
It's kind of hard to say. There were many nice places. Of course, I was excited to go to Atlanta because I really liked the Netflix series called Atlanta. So I expected everything there to be just like the Netflix series. And it was a bit different, but I did enjoy it a lot. So that was great.
When y'all were giving your different talks, what's the one thing that you found that surprised people the most when they first heard about what KubeEdge can do?
So when we give a talk, there's always like a section at the end that is saved for questions from the audience. And we had quite a few questions around reliability of the product, because of the project. We're talking about KubeEdge here, because there are a few extra components compared to core Kubernetes because of how it works and connectivity and all these things. So people had concerns and legitimate questions around how it would work if something breaks, how does it recover. We had quite a lot of interest around how data synchronizes between the clusters, between the cluster and the nodes when it goes offline. There was also, I think part of the draw to these kind of technologies is the memory footprint, or the resources footprint rather, which is pretty small, which allows you to run Kubernetes on smaller nodes like a Raspberry Pi. So we often also had inquiries around how does that work and how do you save resources to like be able to do these things.
That's interesting, with the resource footprint. Was that a surprise to you when you started putting this together, or was it kind of a known goal to lower your footprint?
Yeah, I think generally with Edge, the goal is that, among other things, that you do have a smaller footprint. And for example, you don't use a full couplet, but like a simplified version of a couplet. And I think also some of us have experience with K3S, which is also often used in that field. So I guess it wasn't that surprising, but it was still cool to see basically how space efficient it is.
Mm-hmm. The overall results. Now, what is it in comparison to when you say here, for example, the resource footprint was 70 megabytes? What would be that in if you didn't go this route?
So in the case of KubeEdge or K3S, you have one binary that runs all your Kubernetes components. So that schedules your workload and everything. So that's pretty tiny. If you take a normal regular node, we are talking about a proper kubelet. Mm-hmm. And this thing could take, I don't know, maybe a gigabyte or something. So there is, according to how heavily used the node is, there is a significant difference. And like theoretically, you could probably run a kubelet on these small devices, but it would be a huge waste of resources. And then you wouldn't have a lot left for your actual workloads, the ones that create the business value.
Wow. Okay. That is a significant difference. Okay. I had only heard about KubeEdge once I started watching. I watched a lot of your talk in Warsaw, and I did see some of the great questions afterward. Once I got lost, I fast-forwarded it and to see the interest. But lots of people there, they really enjoyed your talk.
I remember in Warsaw, someone asked about running it in a chicken farm. That really stayed in my mind.
Yeah, she had asked that, and she's like, this is a real use case here, people. Kind of in simple terms for a guy like me. What is KubeEdge, and if you can give me a real-world example of what kind of problem it would solve?
So KubeEdge is an open source project which is used to basically connect a Kubernetes cluster with edge devices. And you can, if you have edge nodes, like edge machines, you can add these, or these can join your Kubernetes cluster as nodes, basically. So you're just going to look at your Kubernetes cluster, and then all the nodes will look normal, but some of these are going to be edge machines, basically. And then what KubeEdge allows you is to run workloads on these, basically. That is the one part. And then the other part of KubeEdge is that you can also manage basically devices, like some IoT devices, inside your cluster as custom resources. So you can use Kubernetes to manage your IoT devices, essentially.
Can you dig a little bit deeper on the kinds of companies who come to us and need these services, and how we work with them and what we do for them?
Actually, lots of different types of companies that use edge computing technologies. But in the case of Giant Swarm, like I mentioned in the intro, for us, it's mostly like smart manufacturing. So often they will have like a factory floor with like legacy processes, let's call them that, with workers and factory floor workers who will do actions manually. And bringing in something like edge computing, you are bringing all the benefits that you get from running Kubernetes in a traditional environment at the edge. So you can schedule your workloads everywhere in the plants. You will have like a small cluster or something, and these clusters can then collect data from the cameras or sensors and all these things. And that way they can get like more accurate readings, faster iteration. They get more consistent because sometimes people can forget to do things or make reports. And the robot doesn't do that. They just do things consistently.
That kind of answers my next question, but I would like to know, once it's up and running, how does it actually change for the people on the ground? Like people who are working in the factory or hospitals or healthcare, how would they notice a difference once this is installed and running?
Well, I think it depends a little bit on what they are actually working on, but ideally you would receive a lot of benefits basically from having this cloud native technology in your factory. So this could be related to the way you analyze your data or the way that processes are automated and so on. But then I think the really big pro is that you would still have all these benefits even when you're not online. So like a technology like KubeEdge basically allows you to kind of run these things separately. Even if your network isn't available, you can still basically have all these benefits. And I think that is probably the biggest difference that you would see if you are working inside a factory or doing something else where edge computing is used.
When you say if you don't have access to the network, or so that is that because it's on-premise?
Yeah, so I think this is a really big one also that companies actually ask us to help them out with, that they either intermittently lose connectivity, or also in some cases, like more extreme cases, we also had companies ask us about air gap, where they actually do not want connectivity to the internet or other connections, depending on their use cases, right?
Is that based on privacy, I'm guessing?
Yeah, there's lots of, like, I think the biggest consumer of air gap environment is around the defense sector, where they like, it's security related, so they are going to run their stuff in like machines, ships, planes, wherever, and these things need to be completely autonomous.
For an organization, manufacturing, healthcare, defense, who are convinced that this is the direction they need to go, why does it matter who helps them get there? And okay, this is the marketing side. I don't know if anybody's not interested anymore to hear the spiel.
Yeah, like, to be honest, I think all the companies go through the same journey when before getting to the stage where they talk to GenSwarm. So they have a problem statement and they need options, and each option has a different cost. So the lower costs, like, often appears to be DIY, so you do it yourself. Any company could figure all of these things out by themselves. It's all open source, it's all available online, it's all free mostly. So you could do it all yourself, but it takes quite a bit of time, it takes money, it takes people, so you need to hire teams, that's, you know, wages and everything. It takes time to onboard and gain experience and build the products, and then once you build the product, you need to run it, you need to update it, maintain it, and that's time and resources you don't allocate to your business value. So that's where GenSwarm kind of makes sense. Like, you just hire a company, they get up and running in a couple of weeks, and they take care of everything, and then, like, that's kind of like the hack, like the shortcut to production.
Back to being on stage. Anything else on the docket? Do you have any other stages to grace?
I think we're done with this talk. We've done it. We've gave it quite a few times, and I think maybe people now want to see something else.
Yeah, I think they get it. Well, cool. Well, I guess we've squeezed as much water out of this rock as we can. So Xavier and Antonia, thank you for joining us today to talk about Edge to Cloud.
Thanks a lot.
Thank you.